Okay, good afternoon. Hope the exam wasn't too bad. The plan for actually the rest of the term is to expand a little bit more on the use of set theory and how it interacts with other branches of mathematics, although we won't get all the way to covering all of mathematics, but we will at least expand a little bit on how set theory gets used. So let me just note the so set theory and the rest of mathematics . So just very brief history. I mean, until for quite a long time, starting with say Euclid, so from about 300 BC on, with Euclid being the primary textbook, he wrote it about 300 BC. The idea was to found mathematics on geometry. And then in the 1800s, so much more recently, people started to think that this wasn't an ideal way to found mathematics, and that in fact set theory was more effective. And so that was when the shift happened, and now pretty much all of mathematics is foundationally resting upon set theory. Shift to set theory. Okay, and what we're going to do, as I said, is just a little bit of a hint of how you move from this set theory to other types of mathematics. All right, and so next, what we're going to do is move to relations. Okay, and you may for a bit have to sort of suspend disbelief that this really gets to the rest of mathematics. So for the moment, we will just produce a bunch of notation, and then in the end, we'll see how it's somehow related. But this is section 3.1, and it takes input from products of sets. From section 2.2 that we already covered. So you should remember what those were. And once you have these relations, then you can do a couple of things with them. So one of them is you can go on and build functions. And that's what happens in chapter 4. And by then you're getting much closer to most of the rest of mathematics. And most of the rest of mathematics is founded largely on functions. But there's actually another thing that one can use. And this comes up already in, I guess it's what, 3.2. Which are equivalences. So between, 3.2. So between equivalences and functions, one can get quite a lot of what is currently considered mathematics. But one of the things we will do with it is use it just so you can see how it relates to some other things. And it will be used for modular arithmetic, which is closely related to the GCD and other number theory type things that we're doing in section 1.8. So this will go to modular arithmetic. Not enough letters there. Okay, which is similar to, related to, GCD in section 1.8. And I guess that happens, let's see which section is that. That's in 3.4. Okay, so that's sort of a rough outline of the directions that the class will head next. Okay, so that means that we need to get started here with relations. All right, so that's the plan for today is relations. All right, so notation around relations. All right, so the way that this come up are when you have a pair of sets, which is also what happens with products. So if we have a pair of sets, the definition, if A and B are sets, then we can talk about a relation between them. And the notation is a little bit funny because it's motivated by functions. So you say a relation from A to B and that's going to be a subset of the product. A cross B. It's the actually the full definition. All right, so let me just do a few examples of these things. Maybe I'll keep my examples over here and my definitions over there. So example. So there are lots of different choices for the sets. Often the sets are the real numbers, but sometimes they're also finite sets. So let me just start with some examples with the finite sets. So let's take A to be the finite set 1 through 4, and B to be the finite set X, Y, Z. Okay, so then a relation is gonna be a subset of the product. Let me say that R. Okay, so it's a set, so I'm going to use set notation. And then elements of that set are pairs, right? Because it's a subset of the product. So an element of that set could be something, and I'm just going to do an example, but something like, say, 1, comma, y, right? So that's, is it clear that that lives in A cross B? Because I have first an element of A, and then I have an element of B, right? So that makes it an element of A cross B. Okay, that that pair. Right? Okay, very good. And so then we just can write down more of those. Any set of elements of A cross B. So maybe let me see. Let me do an example that's got 3 elements in it. So it's got 1y, 2y, and 4z, say. Okay, so that's an example of a relation. And some other notation that we get here is that we write that ARB. Or A is related to B, if the pair A comma B is in the relation. Okay, and so over here, is it clear? Oh, and if it's not, then you put a slash through it. So let me just write it that way. Also, A not R B, or A is not related to B. Otherwise, so if it's not in there. Okay, so I hope that notation is clear. So if I say something like 2y, do I have an R or a not R here?
You would have an R.
Correct. Does everyone see that? It's because I have that pair 2 comma y, that means I have 2ry, right? That's what the notation means, right? So I just extract that out. So this is 2ry, for example, 2 x is not there, so we have 2 not r x. Okay, so I hope that notation's clear. Any questions about that? Okay, one other handy bit of notation analogous to like the Venn diagrams or the truth tables is the digraph associated to a relation. So the digraph, this stands for directed graph, associated to R. And as I said, you should think of it as somehow an analog to a truth table or Venn diagram, like truth table or Venn diagram, just a handy way to keep track of what's going on. But the way that you do it is you have dots for the elements of A on the left here and dots for the elements of B on the right here. So these are the elements of A, 1, 2, 3, 4. And these are the elements of B, X, Y, Z. And then for each element of R, you just draw an arrow. So there's the relation 1y, so that's gonna produce an arrow from 1 to y, right? So that's associated to the relation 1y, to the element 1y in the relation. And then the element 2y in the relation, that's going to give me an arrow here. And the element 4z is going to give me an arrow there. Okay, so is that clear? So I'll end up with those three arrows in my diagram. So I'll have a 2y and 4z. Okay, so that's just a handy way to keep track of what's going on in my relation. Okay, more notation. So two most important aspects of a relation are its domain and its range. So let me write those down. So domain of relation R from A to B is the set, give it a name. DOM is the usual name for domain of R. Okay, so that's the name we give it. And what it is the set of all elements of A so that there exists, so it's an existential quantifier, so there exists B. Of course, that's got to be in B. And then what we want is that A is related to B. Okay, so that's the domain, and the range is very similar. Let me just write it down. Oops, let me give it a name. And the range is RNG for range of R, and it's just the other way around. So it's a set of all B. Oops. So I see that I made an error here. I wrote in R here when I should have said in A. Right. Okay. And then similarly, we're going to take the elements of B so that there exists little a in A with the same property that A is related to B. Okay, so that's the domain and range. Let's just try an example here so that I hope it's clear what that notation means. E.g., here I have the domain of this relation R and the range of this relation R. Okay, let's see. So can anyone see what that is? So what would be the domain of this relation here that I have written here? And actually, it's pretty easy. I find this graph, this digraph here really helps me to read it off. So that is, so the domain is supposed to be all the elements of A so that there exists some B so that A is related to B. Yeah, so I see two people who've got it right. So it's going to be the elements, so because one is there because there's a relation from one to something, two is there because there's a relation from two to something, and four is there because there's a relation element from four to something. Okay, so we have one, two, and four. So that's the domain, and then hopefully once you see the domain, then the range is also clear. So what would be the range? So it's basically just the opposite. So it's the set of elements of B so that there's some A that relates to them. Right, yes, okay. So everyone said that. So it's exactly these two elements. There's nothing that goes to X, but there's something that goes to Y and something goes to Z. In fact, there's two choices there and one there. Okay. But it's an existential quantifier, so one is enough. So we have y and z. Okay, and that's the range. Okay, let's see, a little bit more notation. Sometimes, often in fact, you have a relation from one set back to itself, and that gets a special name. So so a relation from A to A is simply called a relation on A. Okay, and one very common one that comes up a lot is an example, the identity relation on A is, and it goes by the name I for identity, I sub A. Okay, and it should be a set of pairs of elements from A, and it's the pairs that look like little a. It's just a set of all of those with no condition. All right, so if I were to do an example over here, if I take A to be the same A as above, 1, 2, 3, 4, then I can have the identity of 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and is it clear, say, how many elements this relation would have? So remember, this is a relation, so it should be kind of like this one. It should have pairs of elements, except this is supposed to be a relation from A to A, so both elements should come from A. Right? So is it clear how many elements this relation is going to have?
Would it have 16?
So the whole product has 16, okay? But, and that's the difference here is that these two have to be the same.
So would it be 4?
Yeah, so only 4 of those 16 appear in the identity relation. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me just write it out. So it's just the ones where the two are the same. So 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, and 4, 4. Okay, so it's a small subset inside of that full set of size 16. Okay, so any questions about that notation? Oh, and I guess I could draw a diagram for it. And it's an easy diagram to draw. It's just all the horizontal lines. Okay. Okay, any further questions about that notation?
Could we go over relation one more time? So if I said A relates to B, mm-hmm. then...
Okay, so it's a little bit confusing. So there's the concept of A relation from a set A to a set B, and that would be something like this collection of pairs. And then the other thing you can say is that once you have a relation, then you can say that little a, some element of big A, relates to little b, just like over here, you would say that 2 relates to y because the pair 2y is in the relation. Okay, so that's the semantics of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I could say that 1 does not relate to z.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, and let's see, there's a question. Is there a comment? Is there a comma? Actually, I guess the way we've been writing our propositions that you don't need the comma. So I guess I thought better of my by the time I got to the second one. But it's just the way we write a relation, right? So it's you have your existential quantifier and then you have your proposition. So let's see. Oh, this was totally arbitrary. This is just an example. This one is just an example here. Okay, and there are lots of them. In fact, it's an interesting question to ask how many there are. That's, in fact, one of the homework problems in the back of the checks. How many are there given a pair A and B? So that one's totally arbitrary. This one is fixed. The identity one is always this one. It's always everything in the form AA, same thing where the Fritz and Laster are the same. Thank you. I think that's probably right. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, the chat was set for exam mode rather than class mode. Okay. All right, so those are the basic objects of relations. So there's one more kind of basic operation that you can do on a relation, which is to flip it around in the other order. And that's called the inverse. And then we can do some more examples. So the inverse to a relation R from A to B is the relation, and it goes by the name R inverse, and it goes the other way from B to A. And all you do is you flip everything around. So so R inverse is equal to the set of all B comma A, such that A comma B is in the original relation R. So you just turn everything around. Yes, and someone correctly identified what the identity on B is, right? It's exactly the pairs XX, Y, Y, Z, Z. Okay, so so this is the inverse, and I could write down the inverse over here. So R inverse. And all you do is you take everything and just turn them around. So it's gonna have the same number of elements. And they just get turned around. So where we once had y one y, we now have y one. And where we had two y, we have y two. And where we had four z, we have z four. Right. So you just turn everything around. And so actually, note what is the inverse of the identity relation?
The identity relation.
Exactly right. Because they just AA goes to AA. So this is back to itself. Okay.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So would the relation times its inverse be the identity relation?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. So,
or like for it to be equal to each other, they would have to be the identity relation?
It's actually not quite true. There are some others that do that. Yeah, that one does, and some others do also. But it's certainly an interesting question to ask. And in some branches, of, in some settings, if you put extra conditions on them, then you get that result, and then that's a useful result to prove about your class of relations. But that's in fact exactly the next thing to look at is what it means to take times a relation. So let's look at that. And then I'll do a few more examples. Definition. What would it mean to take a product of relations? Let me draw my favorite little diagram over here. I like to draw diagrams, as anyone who's taken more advanced classes from me know. So the idea is you have a relation. And this is the way that I like to draw it, okay? So I have a relation that goes from A to B. And if I also have a relation that goes from B onto C, let me give it the name S, then I can get a relation that goes from A all the way to C, okay? And this is gonna be the concept of a product-like relation you're talking about, or composition is what it's called. And let's see, the way it's written is you do the R first and then you do the S, so it goes in that order, okay? And so that's the picture there, and now I'll just write out the definition. So definition, if we have the input data, so R and S here, so R is a relation from A to B, and S is a relation from B to C, then we can talk about this product type relation or composition. Then the composition relation S composed R is equal to, and actually let me add where it's going from afterward here. And it's gonna go as drawn in my little picture here from A to C. Okay, so since it's going from A to C, I have to give pairs, one from A and one from C, right? So it's gonna be a set of pairs A comma C. So this is gonna be in the product A cross C. Okay, and then I have to have some condition on which ones I want. And to be a composition, what I wanna do is I wanna be able to do something that goes from A to B and then something from B to C. So what does that mean? I have my little A over here, I have my little C over here. That means I wanna be here. So which quantifier am I gonna use for the B?
The existential.
Exactly, right? Because that makes sense. So I'm going to say there exists some little b and then it has the properties that I want. So let me write that out. So there exists little b and b. And then we check our properties, and the properties we want are that A is related to B by R, and B is related by S onto C, okay? So that's our condition. Okay, so let me just try a couple of examples here. All right, so so let's say that I want to do an example. So I need a relation that is compatible somehow with this R. So R goes from the 1, 2, 3, 4 to X, Y, Z. So if I want to compose it with something, I need something that goes on to something else. Okay, so let me try that. So example, let's take R is above. And I'll add a new relation S. And it should go from B to some new set C, okay? And let's say it's that new set is, I don't know, something new, say X, Y, Z. All right, and now if I give you an S, then you should be able to write down the composition. So I'm gonna give you an S, now I'm just gonna choose one. So e.g., I'll take a S to be just some relation. So let's say it has X, oops. I'm sorry, I took B and C to be the same. I didn't actually want to take B and C to be the same, so let me take them to be different. So instead of X, Y, Z, I'm gonna take C to be A, B, C, just so they're different. They needn't be actually, but I think it's a little bit clearer for my first example that they be different. Okay, so I'll do it that way. Okay, so X to A, say, and Y to A, and maybe Z to C. Okay, and so now if I do then R composed with S, oops, I'd have to do R first and then S, so I should write it in the other order. R composed with S is equal to, all right. And so, and again, I find that it's illuminating if I draw my picture. So let me add my picture here. So if I go on here to ABC, right? This is my relation R here. And now I can add in the relation S, right? And so that's got an X to a A and a Y to A. And Z to C. And now I find that if I look at that, it's relatively easy for me to read off the answer here without having to run through the existential quantifier too many times. So could anyone see what an element of this relation, composed relation would be? R followed by S.
Two to A.
Yes. Okay. Does everyone see that? So I can, the claim was that there's a relation from 2 to A. And so I do look at my quantifier and yes, there exists something Y so that I can go from 2 to Y. And then I can go from Y to A. Okay. And that's what I need. So it's going to be the set of pairs like that. So as mentioned, there's a 2 to A. Okay. And let's see, can anyone see the rest of them?
1 to A.
Correct.
4 to C.
That's right. And that's, I think, all of them. Okay. So that's the composition of those two relations. All right. Okay. Any questions about those examples? All right, then let me do a few more examples. Let me try some that use the real numbers for both their domain and their range, because those are another common. Oh, actually, maybe I'll just do one more observation here. Actually, I'll do two more examples with this, as long as we've got them. Once I got my diagraph drawn, I like to just play with it. So let's see what else I can do here. So what about if I take first the identity and then R? So, first of all, if I'm going to do R first and then do the identity, which identity does this have to be? On which set? I should have labeled things. Remember, R runs here from A over to B.
It's the identity of C.
So we're going to do R, right? And then we're going to do I. And so I want to, so it has, so it's not C. Oh, I see some people have hints here in the, let me draw the picture. I think the picture makes it clear. So remember, everything gets kind of switched around. So R goes from A to B. So this is why I like these diagrams. Okay, and if I want to do R and then do I, then it has to go over here, right? Okay, but I is always, it always goes from a set back to itself, right? Because it's the, and so what does it have to go to then? B, that's right. So everyone see that? So this is the one that's going to give me, first I do R and then I do I. Okay, so that's the first one here. So this has to be the identity sub B for this to make sense. Okay, and what about the other one? So the other one, I'm going to stick an identity on the other side. I can put it on the one diagram here. Yeah, so this time, as people mentioned in the chat, this time it does have to be A. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, and if I can also draw it up here in this picture. I do like these pictures. If I draw the identity, remember the identity is very easy to draw. It's just all the horizontal lines. So if I do first an identity and then R, what do I end up with? All right, so let's just look here. So if we go up here and look at this composition, right, what is one related to? Well, it's only one thing it can go to here, and then it can go to Y. And what about two? Well, there's only one thing it can go to here, and then it's related over to here. And what about three? There's only one thing it can go to, and there's nothing it's related to. Right? And what about four? There's only one thing it can go to, and then it's related by R to whatever it goes to. Right? So let's see what that relation is always going to be. Well, I'll prove it in a second, but let me just write down what it is. So it's just going to be R again in both cases. Okay. So let me write that down as a theorem, and then we can just practice proving those. Because, of course, besides the fact that these are useful extending set theory to the rest of mathematics, it's also more fodder for practicing proofs. So let's try to prove this claim, which I wrote as an example over there, but the claim, if we have a pair of sets A and B, and we have a relation from A to B, then if I compose with the identity, I get R back. Then let me do it in this order, the A one there. So A, B composed with R is equal to R. And here, I, B is the identity relation on B. Okay, so we need to start thinking about how the logic goes. And so as usual with a proof here, we have a proof sketch. So first we have to understand it. Okay, so what does this mean? What are these things? I compose R and R.
They're relations.
They're relations, right. And relations we define to be sets, right? So these are special cases of sets. So we're back in the world of sets, right? So if I want to prove that two sets are the same, what do I have to do?
You can say like X, Y, or X, A is in one and then it's also in the other one.
That's right, yeah. And logically, when I do such a proof, I have to do two things, right? What are the two things I'm going to have to do?
Prove that one set is the subset of another set, and vice versa.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I have to do it this way and that way, right? I have to have both containments, and then I've completed the proof that two sets are the same. So understand, these are sets. So R and IB composed are relations, and hence sets. So we must show that IB composed R is contained in R, and also that the containment the other direction. Okay, so there are two things that we have to show. I'm not sure that goes into understanding, that's more of a logic. We'll call that logic. Okay, so those are the two things we have to show. All right, and so, and then as usual, we have to look at what we're gonna assume and conclude. And just as you were explaining, to go one way, I assume that I have some element on this side, and then I conclude that it's in there, and then I assume that I have an element over here and conclude that it's over there, right? So there are two things to show. So so one, I assume, and what elements look like are exactly what you said. Assume I have AB in, IB composed with R, and show AB is in R, and then the converse. Assume AB is in R, and show AB is in IBR. Okay, so is it clear that that's the right logic for what's going on here? All right. And then we just have to try the proof. Right, so if AB is in IBR, so from this first one here, what does that mean? Okay, well, we should go back to our definition, right? Where did the definition go? I guess it's too high up. Okay, but we should go back to our definition, right? To use that existential quantifier, right? So A comma B is in IBR, but we just defined what that was. So that's the set of all pairs, A comma B in AB, A cross B, such that. And then there were some conditions, right? And there was this existential quantifier, there exists. Okay, and so now this is a little bit tricky, but I find looking at the picture to be very helpful. So we are looking at first doing R and then doing IB. So it's this side over here. All right, so I've got some element of A and some element of B. Which, over what set am I doing my existential quantifier? A little A over here and a little B over there. It's actually going to be B. Okay, so let me try writing it out. So I have my A and I have my B, and what I want to do is say there's some thing in the middle here that I can factor it through. Okay, so that I can use R and then I can use IB and get this. So let me just write it down and see if that makes sense. So there exists some B tilde in the middle set B. Okay, and then I should write down my conditions. So I need that A is related to B tilde by R. And B tilde is related to B by IB. Okay, so let's see, does that make sense? Sorry, I don't like scrolling so far away, but it almost fits, not quite. But remember, that's the definition of the composition, right? Is that I'm supposed to take all the pairs that go from A over to C so that there exists some B in the middle so that I can get between those two, right? So when I look at this example down here, I'm going from A to B, all right? And I want to see whether there's something in the middle there so that I can stop off along the way. So I can use R for the first step and then IB for the second one. Does that make sense?
I'm still a little confused why it seems like we're going from B to A, but it's written I... like identity of B to
okay, maybe I'll draw the picture one more time and see if that clarifies. So it's a little confusing to go backward. Let me try drawing it backward. Maybe that'll make it clear. So if I take R going from A to B, okay, and then I'm going to go from B to B with I, and this will be IB because it goes from B to B, and then this composition is going to be first I do R, and then I do IB. Okay, so that's the picture. So the I start out here in A and I use my R, and then I go from B back to B. So in my example up here, if I were going to use R, then I would have to take an identity. It was over here. Sorry, this is exactly right. Where I would have an identity going from here to here, right? So first I would do my R and then I would do this IB. So same thing over here. First I'm going to do the R and then I'm going to do the IB. I don't know if that clarified or not, but that should be, we're trying to end up from A to B. R goes from A to B and then the identity goes from B to B. So It's the two steps. Okay. All right. If you want to think about, if you can think about how this would change if I tried to do the other one, if I were trying to do R composed with IA, which is on the other side. So things are very similar, but not quite the same. So it's, and once again, maybe I'll just add, the other thing I like to do with these little diagrams is I can put little elements here. So I can take little A is in here, and little B is in here, and then my little B tilde is in here. Okay, so then I have something where I go from A to, from little A to this B tilde, and then from little B tilde to that little B, and then that's gonna give me in the composition, something goes from little A to little B.
So are we doing a like R first and then?
Yes, we're doing R first. You do the right-hand one first.
That's so counterintuitive.
That's what's confusing about it, that's right. And the reason that that's the way you do it is because if I plug something into here, I think of it as a function, then I'm gonna plug it in, and I'm gonna do the right-hand one first. But anyway, yeah, it's very confusing to keep track of which one you're doing first. But yes, you do the right-hand one first. That's the tricky thing. Okay, let's see. So let's finish up. So we're almost done here. So we have this A, comma B is going to be in our composition. If we have this B tilde. Okay, but for B tilde B to be in the identity, that means that B tilde is equal to B. Okay. So we have that this A is related to B tilde, and B tilde is related by IB to B, if and only if A is related to B, and B is equal to B tilde. Okay, so that's another way to write it. Okay, so I'm about out of time, so let me try writing out the proof over here. So proof, so assume, A comma B is in R. I'm sorry, that's the second one. So first we're going to do the one that we did first over here. So IB compose R, and hence there is B tilde in B with A related to B tilde, and B tilde IB related to B. Hence, B equals B tilde, and A is I related to B. Hence, A comma B is in R. Okay, so that's one direction. Yeah. And then we can try the other direction. Assume A comma B is in R. Hence, A comma B, if B tilde is equal to B, then A is R related to B tilde, and B tilde is IB related to B. So AB is in IB compose R QED. Okay, so that's the two directions that we need are these two containments. And once again, you might try writing out the other one, the composition on the other side, and just see what's different when you do this one down here, okay? Because it's very similar, except that now we're doing the A identity instead of the R identity, instead of the B identity, okay? All right, I'm out of time, but I will stick around. And otherwise, enjoy the long weekend, and I'll see you on Wednesday.